Okay.
We're going.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to call the Mobile Source Committee to order and for Thursday, September 28th. And would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
On the roll for the Mobile Source Committee meeting of September 28th, 2017, Director Canepa.
Here.
Director Groom.
Present.
Director Hudson.
Here.
Director Ju.
Here.
Director Kaplan.
Here.
Director Kim. Director Miley. Committee Vice Chair Haggerty. Committee Chair Mitchoff. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. The first order of business is public comment. Is anyone who is here to speak to an item that's not on the agenda? No cards. Thank you. Approval of the minutes of May 25th.
Make the motion to approve the minutes of May 25th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Abstaining? Okay. Now we will go to item number four, which is projects and contracts with proposed grant awards over $100,000.
Good morning.
Solik, how are you?
Good morning. Good morning, members of the Mobile Source Committee meeting. I am pleased to present item number four. It's been a while since we've met. We are just coming back from the summer recess, so for that reason, we have quite a few number of projects that will be for your board consideration today as part of this item. I just want to very quickly point out there are two typos in this memo. The first is agenda attachment number four. There is one project, 17R27, that is sponsored by the City of Richmond, and the project description reads that we will be installing 16 electronic bicycle lockers in San Jose. That's getting updated to say City of Richmond. And similarly, on attachment six, there are a variety of care areas that are listed. They're all shown here as no, and that's also being updated. Chen Feng will be sharing a slide here momentarily that shows the corrected information. I apologize for that. Otherwise, we're pleased to introduce Chen Feng Wang, who will be leading us through this presentation.
Thank you, Karen. Good morning, members of the Mobile Source Committee. Today, I'll be presenting the project with a proposed individual grant award over $100,000 for your consideration. Let's see whether I can move this on. During this presentation, I'll start by providing background information on the funding programs. Then I'll discuss the proposed projects with individual awards over $100,000. And finally, I'll conclude with staff's recommendations. For background, the Air District has participated in the COMOIR program since it was created in 1998. The program is voluntary and aims to reduce emissions from heavy-duty diesel engines beyond what is required by air quality rules and regulations. The program is jointly administered by the California Air Resources Board and the local air district. It provides funding to both public and private entities. In addition to the MOIR program funding, the Mobile Source Incentive Fund, or MSIF, is the district funding source authorized by Assembly Bill 923. The bill authorized the district to collect an additional $2 DME registration fee to be used to fund eligible MOIR projects. Both MOIR projects and the lower emission school bus projects are eligible for MSIF funding. Regarding transportation fund for clean air, or TFCA, it is district's oldest funding source, and it has funded projects that reduce motor vehicle emissions and improve air quality in the Bay Area since 1991. As authorized by state legislature and set forth in the California Health and Safety Code, TFCA funding is provided by a $4 DMV registration fee on motor vehicles registered in the Bay Area. The TFCA project will be discussed in this presentation are funded by the 60% of TFCA funds that are allocated to the Air District Regional Fund and Air District Sponsored Projects. different from the previous mentioned MOIR, MSF, and TFC program. The Greenhouse Gas Reduction Grant Program, or GGRGP, was the result of a settlement agreement reached in 2007 between the California Attorney General and ConocoPhillips. The settlement agreement authorized the Air District to administer a carbon offset fund, which is the funding source for the GGRGP program. Only public agencies are eligible for funding from this program, and projects funded by GGRGP must be located in close proximity to Conoco and achieve verifiable and quantifiable greenhouse gas emission reductions. For this program, we have opened two rounds of solicitation for projects. The first round was opened in 2009 and funded renewable power and energy efficiency improvement projects at public buildings, and those projects were completed by 2015. Also in 2015, we worked with the Attorney General Office to allocate the remaining GGRGP funds to launch a commercial lawn and garden equipment exchange program. The GGRGP projects that we'll be discussing in this presentation are funded by the second round of the GGRGP program. Next, I'm going to discuss the projects that are funded by these programs. Regarding the COMOIR program, on March 16, 2016, the board of directors authorized the participation in year 18 of the program and authorized the executive officer to execute contracts and amendments with grant awards up to $100,000. Today, we do not have any MOIR project with individual grant awards over $100,000. For projects with awards below $100,000 that are executed by the executive officer, we are supposed to report to this committee on a quarterly basis. As an update, these projects are listed in attachment 2 of the staff report. I'd like to also point out that all year 18 MOIR program funds have been expended, and we are currently working on the year 19 program, which is scheduled to open in October this year. For the TFC program, on March 16, 2016, the board of directors allocated $21.7 million in funding for eligible fiscal year ending 2017 TFC projects, and authorized the executive officer to execute contract amendments with grant awards up to $100,000. The TFC funding policies and evaluation criteria were adopted on July 20, 2016. Before you for consideration today, 11 TFC projects with individual grant award over $100,000 for a total of nearly $3 million. This funding includes 99,900 funding that is pending the California Energy Commission's approval for Project 17EV018, which is an electric vehicle charging station project that the Los Altos School District will install 182 Level 2 and 8 DC fast charging electric vehicle charging stations on school campus in Mountain View, Los Altos, and Los Altos Hills. In aggregate, these 11 projects will reduce approximately 2.21 tons of criteria pollutants and about 2,102 greenhouse gas emissions annually. More information about these projects can be found in Attachment 1, Table 2 of the staff report. More specifically, 4 of the 11 projects will install 280 Level 2 and 9 DC fast electric vehicle charging stations. The first project is the one I just mentioned in the previous slide that has $99,900 in CC funding. 7 bicycle facility projects will install more than 31 miles of Class 1, 2, 3, and Class 4 bikeways, and 104 electric bicycle lockers. This slide shows all of the 14 bicycle facility projects and their locations, including 8 bikeway projects and 6 bike parking projects. These projects will install a total of more than 35 miles of bikeways, new bikeways, and 425 new secure bicycle parking spaces across the Bay Area, including electric bike, electronic bicycle lockers and bicycle racks. I'd like to draw your attention that there's one project located on the upper left corner of the map, which will install 1.9 miles of bikeways in Santa Rosa. It's easy to ignore it because it's at the corner of the map. And this chart shows how the $8 million TFC funds are allocated by project category and by county. These funds have been allocated to, or are proposed to be allocated to 41 eligible projects evaluated since July 1st, 2016, including those being considered today. Slightly more than 28% of funding was awarded to support deployment of electric vehicles and charging stations, and the remaining funds support trip reduction projects. More detailed information on this project can be found in attachment 4 of the staff report. Moving on to the GGRGP, Commercial Lawn Garden Equipment Exchange Program, that is funded by the Carbon Offset Fund, created as a result of the Conical Settlement Agreement I discussed previously in as background information. On February 17, 2016, the board of directors allocated $517,270 carbon offset funds to fund projects that replace conventional commercial lawn and garden equipment with zero emission equipment, and authorized the executive officer to execute contracts and amendments with grant awards up to $100,000. For your consideration today are two GGRGP projects with individual grant awards over $100,000 for a total of $226,932. The two projects will replace 61 pieces of conventional lawn and garden equipment with zero emission equipment. These projects will reduce approximately 1.33 tons of criteria pollutants and about 194 greenhouse gas emissions annually. And this slide shows all of the 9 projects that are eligible for funding from the GGRGP Commercial Lawn Gardening Program. And this slide provides the correct information for the carrier and the approved dates, as Karen mentioned at the beginning of the presentation. In closing, staff request the committee recommend board directors approve transportation fund for clean air and greenhouse gas reduction fund grant program projects with proposed grant awards over $100,000 as shown in attachment 1, and authorize the executive officer to enter into all necessary agreements with the applicant for the recommended project. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Director Kaplan?
Thank you very much for this. So this is for the funding from the prior year's allocation, correct?
You are talking about TFC, right?
Yes.
Yes, and also the Comoyer. They are all prior.
And the next round, you said, starts in October?
For Comoyer, yes.
Okay,
We're currently working to open that. There's a computer system. There's significant updates that came from ARB this year, so we needed to do a lot of retooling of the online system. So we're close to completing that. So as soon as that's finished, we'll reopen. Carmoyer, meanwhile, TFCA gets opened in phases. So we've opened bicycles. So you saw some of those here. We'll be bringing shuttles to you next month. And the EV chargers is ongoing in the background, and you also saw some of those projects come forward as well.
So I have no problem with any of the projects on this list. I do want to comment, as I think Supervisor Haggerty was also experiencing, the traffic congestion is getting worse and worse and worse dramatically, And so I would hope we would be looking at what we can do on sort of the low-hanging fruit of, you know, what we can be doing to increase carpooling. Certainly the express buses, which are no longer express because they're sitting in traffic, mm-hmm. And need their queue jump lanes. And so for those two things, are those, would be, those be part of these funds, or that would be a different allocation?
Our main focus relative to carpooling is our Spare the Air program, which is funded by TFCA. So that is funding that's been actually set aside by the board of directors already for that programmatically each year. Relative to the express buses and you know, information, we do fund 511.org. And relative to the buses themselves, we can replace them with perfectly good electrical buses. So we do work as best we can with the, with our cities, counties, to work on these types mm-hmm. of initiatives. But traffic is traffic. And there's not, you know, our main push is to try and create, through this program, last mile linkages to, yep. to get people off the highways and onto mass transit, which we hope will alleviate that problem.
Absolutely. And I did bring this up at public engagement on Monday, and maybe it'll go back there in terms of strategies to increase how much we're getting people to carpool. That maybe that'll go not through this committee, but through public engagement, because it in terms of what we can accomplish without a 20-year, $5 billion infrastructure project, filling those three empty seats in each car. So that'll go through public engagement rather than here. And then let me mm-hmm. ask about one of my last sort of hoped for projects here, which I know we didn't do last year, but hopefully it's in the coming year, which is we've discovered that there's a small fraction of the trucks in the Bay Area that are the worst, heaviest polluting trucks. And if we could get, you know, a small number of the worst trucks off the road, we could make a huge difference in PM, you know, and like a cash for clunkers program like we've been doing for cars. Mm-hmm. Would that be coming back to us separate from this?
Yes.
For sort of a future year?
There's going to be quite a lot of stuff coming back to you over the next few months. So we had scheduled an update for the full board of directors on AB 617. After we get through with the full board, having that discussion, this committee will have a lot of work to do around those funds. So that's one of the programs that we intend to get up and operational as part of some of the efforts that we're doing there.
Okay. Thank you, and I'm happy to move this item.
We got a couple more comments. Director Haggerty, and then Director Jew.
I'll second for discussion. Okay. Go ahead, Hudson. You have the whole meeting. I apologize for being late. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes, probably an hour and 45 minutes was just trying to get to, from Oakland to here. I'm curious, when you talk about the replaced 41 pieces of equipment, and I don't expect you to go backwards in the whole presentation. That's not what I'm trying to get at here. But and 20 pieces of equipment in Oakland under, I'm just trying to figure out, were these electrical infrastructure, EV infrastructure?
I'm sorry, which slide are you on, or which?
I don't know. I can't read the. There's no. If you could read the numbers in this, I could.
Is there a page number? Sorry.
Well, there might be, but if you.
Sure, sure. So these are lawn and garden equipment.
Okay. Yeah, is that what LNG means?
Yes, lawn
okay,
and
so
garden.
Okay, so let me ask you a question then. How much are we focusing? I really on getting at EV infrastructure. Is that still a focus? Because I really wish that, again, and I'm going to speak to the low-income communities, I really wish that we could push really hard to get EV infrastructure more into apartments mm-hmm. and things like that. And I'm wondering how much are we making that a focus? And
Sure.
I'm sorry for being a little scattered right now, but I also almost got killed on the way in, so I'm still a little shaky. So.
Dear.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you made it here.
Well, I am
safely.
Too. My family probably doesn't really care. But
very
yeah.
glad. So to answer your question, currently for this last cycle, right, so Director Kaplan was correct that this really represents everything that we've done over the last 12 months, so we're bringing it forward to show you. In there, we currently have about $3 million worth of ask for EV infrastructure specifically, nearly 30 projects. But you do point out a really important point, which is the challenges of getting the infrastructure into multifamily housing. There's a variety of different fronts that we're working on to deal with that. We're coordinating with PG&E, who has money specifically for multifamily housing. They'll be rolling that out later, starting early later this year. And that funding is really exciting because it actually provides up to full funding for low-income housing units. So that's something that we're really excited about. So we'll be working with them to make sure that those funds come to Bay Area PG&E ratepayers. The other thing that we'll be working on that's very similar is the EFMP program, the Enhanced Fleet Modernization Program. We have formally submitted an application to the Air Resources Board, and we're waiting. We've been working with them over the last couple of years on this, so we anticipate that that is something that we'll be bringing back to this committee, hopefully later this calendar year, so we think very soon. That program will allow us to provide significant funding to qualifying low-income residents who participate in the vehicle buyback program, whereby they would swap out an older vehicle, and then they would have their choice of going into a new or new-ish either EV or hybrid vehicle, or to take transit or carpooling. As part of that, there are also additional funds to help them install electric vehicle charging infrastructure in their home or apartment. So it's a really exciting program if they do choose to go EV. So it is an emphasis for us this year.
Well, okay. The apartments are the ones that I'm really worried about, and the owners of the apartments will be the ones that will push back, because it'll be hard for them to install it, the infrastructure and everything, to get over to the carports, things like that. But, you know, I do have a good friend that owns a Chevrolet dealership, and he points out to me, first of all, not every low-income person, we shouldn't stigmatize low-income people and say that they can't afford to buy new cars, and they can't, we shouldn't say that they all have bad credit. And a lot of people feel that way, and that's absolutely untrue. They're just low income. That's it. And he points out to me that a lot of these people, he can get into brand new, for example, Chevy Bolts, like I'm driving today, for somewhere in the neighborhood of $140 a month, which is about what they would spend on gas or more in a month. So we're better off getting the EV infrastructure into these apartments so we can move them into electric vehicles. So yeah. I hope that that remains a focus of the Air District.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Director Ju.
Great. Thank you for the presentation. And just to follow up on something that, Karen, you just mentioned, how have we seen the numbers fluctuate around the number of applicants for these grants over the years?
Well, so it's really mushroomed. We have been offering grants, I would say general grants for EV infrastructure starting since 2010, which was kind of before these vehicles were really available commercially as new vehicles, where there's a lot of conversions that was happening back in that time frame. Back then, I think, you know, we had a handful of applicants, and mainly they were local government agencies. Now what we're seeing is not only a proliferation in the number of applicants, but also we're starting to see really much broader and variation in the type of applicants that we're seeing. We're seeing folks that don't really know about the Air District and haven't really applied to our grant funds. So that presents challenges in other ways, but it's really exciting. And you know, it's a really exciting program. Again, we have webinars usually every couple of weeks to help people kind of work through the process. And we've also switched our grant programs over the years so that now it's a first come, first serve, so that you know right away going into the program exactly what you're eligible for, whereas before you were kind of throwing a dart in the air. You didn't really know what the target was. It was very difficult for folks that were new to the program to participate. So we've worked really hard to try to make it as easy as possible. The application itself, if you have the authority to sign and you have a quote, it should take you about less than 10 minutes to fill out the application online. So again, we've done a lot of work to make it as easy as possible for folks to participate, and we're really pleased with the results.
That's great. And are you basing that kind of like on feedback you're getting at the end of kind of the grant cycles from people that are awarded grants?
Yeah, well, the other thing is there is not so much an end of the award cycle. What we've done is we've also made it so that this program has been open since, I think this cycle of it has been open since February of this calendar year. So historically, a lot of the Air District programs for this funding source, they were competitive. It was only open for a 45-day period. And it was only open once a year. And what we've done is we've sort of shifted so that when we have enough money to really make it broadly available, we keep it open. We don't make it competitive. We make it easy for folks to apply when they're ready. And so what we're seeing is that the projects, we have a lot less fallout. By the time folks actually sign up and go through the contracting phase, they're really ready to do the project. The projects are more successful. And overall, it's sort of a win-win.
So one thing that we do for different portions of the program is we also do surveys to get that feedback to see how we're doing. We also work with some of our grant recipients, our cities and counties, who give us fairly honest feedback, as you can well imagine, about how well the programs are doing. And through that, we've made changes in them down through the years. So it's something we do take serious, and we try and improve it each time we do one of these solicitations.
Director Canepa?
Seems like you're having positive progress. I just want to congratulate you guys on continuing to modify and improve the program for efficiency and the pool of applicants.
Great.
Director Kaplan again.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm really pleased to look at what you've done around the investment in bikeways throughout the region. That is really impressive, and it makes me happy to see what you've done in particular in San Mateo County. I noticed that in my old city, you put about 10.8 miles of bikeway. And I think that's really important because there's always been an issue in the North County of connecting with San Francisco through various bike lanes and connecting east to west. But my question to you is, on these bikeways, we're starting to see all these companies going into different cities, whether it's, I think it's Lime, all these bike sharing companies. And so one of the things that I would challenge staff to do in the future is to sort of be engaged in that and come back to us. Maybe, Damien, you come back to us and kind of provide us what the landscape is. And in addition to that, Damien, if you don't mind, I'm pointing my finger at you. I don't know why. one of those days. But if you could come back to us and tell us how do they fit into this sort of ecosystem of getting people to and from.
Yeah, it's something that we obviously have had a lot of interest. We did start our dock bike sharing system a number of years back, and we've met with a couple of these different companies who are employing the dockless system. So we've had various presentations, and there are various different business models. So I think it might be good for us to come back to the committee as a whole and talk about that, because we see, as part of our pilot trip reduction, we see that those type of systems could actually help bridge some of the gaps in this last mile. But we want to make sure that we're staying in step with MTC and the efforts that they're doing there. So let us take that as a action item and come back to you all with an update on bicycles and bike sharing.
One last thing. And what I'm curious too, there's about 10 companies that do this, right?
Oh, there's many more, yeah.
And so then the question becomes, as policymakers, do we have 10 different vendors, 12 different vendors? Is it dockless? Is it docked? And so I think for me as a policymaker, it's kind of confusing if we have multiple, multiple vendors in the marketplace. And we can't control that, but that's...
Yeah.
That's my thought for the day.
One of the things that we have seen is some of these, the more what we would call responsible folks who deploy these types of systems, they do enter into agreements with cities and counties, which covers, where the bikes are parked so they don't become a nuisance or an eyesore. So there are definitely some measures I think that government can take to help manage this a little bit better.
Great. Thank you, David.
Director Kaplan.
Thank you. I wanted to follow up on the question about in affordable rental housing, because that is a huge gap in why people can't get electric cars, is because the apartment buildings they live in don't have charging. And I know that we've had open now for a while a program that does that is eligible for that, that apartment building owners can apply, but none of the ones I've mentioned it to have heard about it at all. What are we doing to reach out either to affordable housing organizations, rental housing provider associations, because nobody seems to know this program exists. And then when you go to the webpage, it says new guidelines will be posted soon. It has said that for 2 months. The website has said the deadline has been extended to November 3rd. Program requirements are currently being updated. Revised guidance document will be released soon. It's been 2 months at least that I've been checking that the website says that. I haven't seen a new brochure or anything for us to give out, or whether we're sending this information to the affordable housing providers so that they would know to apply.
Sure, that's a good point. We are delayed on making updates to that program. So that is something that we are working on as we sort of manage the workload that we have with all the different programs. But that is something, just so that you know, we are currently accepting applications under the current guidelines. The updates will not be significant. It's mainly just some refreshing. But in terms of outreach, I had mentioned earlier that for next year, we do have, we have had a strong focus on trying to get the word out, but we didn't necessarily have staff dedicated to be the ones that go out besides the grant staff that we have. So we do the best we can, but there is an item that is being prepared. We are working to secure additional funding so that we have dedicated staff who do exactly what you're saying, that if there is an invitation, an opportunity to go anywhere, that we can deploy folks to go and get the word out. But meanwhile, we are doing the best we can to try to get the word out. And in terms of brochures, we'd be glad to provide updated information if there's a need. But otherwise, we are using the current information that we have, and we do hope to have it updated shortly.
One other mechanism we use is we have a EV coordinating council, right? And the members of that EV coordinating council are our city, county, local, regional governors. City of Oakland, they're there, and we rely on those folks to help us bring people forward to these programs. So we can redouble our efforts in that area, as Karen said, and as I mentioned, as I alluded to earlier, we have a fairly substantial ask, I think, from the board of directors coming up for staffing to do some of this work. So we definitely recognize that it's a need. And as we roll forward, it's something that we'll place more emphasis on. Now, relative to that particular area of the community, you also have PG&E and VW who are coming forward with programs as well. So trying to remain coordinated with those folks will be a problem. But you have the commitment here from the staff, you've heard it today, that we are coming back to talk to you about this. And we're not talking about months. This is going to be in the next, you know, a couple of weeks or so. If there are specific organizations you think we should be outreaching to, all of you in your communities, I mean, you know this better than we do. If you can send us those lists, we're happy to do that outreach.
Awesome. And then do you have a current flyer that we can take with us?
Mm-hmm. We could have one by the end of today.
Okay.
That we can email you. It's, again, the information that's currently in the guidelines, it is open, and we are accepting applications, and we'd be glad to refresh it so that it has current information.
And the last one didn't have a contact name or phone number on it, so if you could double-check that before you print the new one.
We absolutely will look at that.
And, you know, there are conferences of affordable housing providers, so maybe, you know, we could arrange to have some folks go to some of those. And certainly, I'd be happy to arrange a space in Oakland if you want to come do a presentation.
Wonderful.
There. And we can invite
Wonderful.
A bunch of affordable housing and even just rental housing that aren't nonprofits even to come.
Yeah. And any of those are eligible, and actually it would be great.
Cool.
I think PG&E would like to come along as well.
One thing I would say is that this particular district has done an awful lot of work in that space, right? We chaired the California PEVC Committee on developing guidelines for folks who actually own these buildings to identify for them what the pitfalls are or not. And in the most cases, it's or not. to do some education around how folks are, who are interested in this for multifamily dwellings can go ahead and do these types of projects. And then we have a range of kind of examples, contact information for case studies to show how folks actually successfully completed these projects. That's something that's available. We can also make available if you want to do some additional outreach relative to those organizations.
Thank you. We have a motion with a second on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed or abstaining? Okay. Chair Mischoff, back to you.
Thank you, Ms. Groom, for taking over today. I thought yesterday I didn't have to be on the freeway. I felt very sorry for people westbound on 80. I have a whole new appreciation. People need to drive nicer and not hook up with other people's bumpers. Okay, we're going to move on to item 5, which is the selection of a vendor to conduct financial and compliance audits. And this will be presented by Mr. Breen.
Good morning.
That's item 4. Who's doing this one? Hello, how are you?
Good morning, Chair Mischoff. I would like to introduce Ken Mack, who will be leading us through this presentation. But before I do, I just want to let you know this is a very important item as part of our accountability. In this committee oversees the Transportation Fund for Clean Air, which is part 2 of this audit. We have done a combined request for audit services that not only will be looking at the TFCA program, but also will be looking at the district's financial audit on an annual basis. So I want to recognize Stephanie Osaz and Marina Smokina from the finance division, who helped with our group to put this together. And also want to recognize that we have Joe Musa, who's from Simpson & Simpson, in the audience, who is also available for questions. And with that, I would like to introduce Ken Mack.
Right. Thank you, Karen. So good morning, Chair Mischoff and members of the Mobile Source Committee. Today, I'll be going over the results of a recent request for proposal for a vendor to conduct the district's financial and compliance audits and presenting to a committee a recommendation to select Simpson and Simpson as the firm to conduct these audits. So a brief overview of this presentation. I'll give some background on our auditing requirements. I'll go over what the scope of work is to provide the auditing services to the district. I'll then walk through the RFP process and present the evaluation and scoring results. And finally, I'll end with recommendations. So as I mentioned, the vendor will be providing auditing services for the districts, which involves two kinds of audits. The first is the district's financial audit, and the other is the compliance audit for the TFCA, or Transportation Fund for Clean Air, funded projects and programs. For background, both of these audits are required by law. The financial audit is a requirement of government agencies to conduct an independent audit of their annual financial statements. And the compliance audit is a requirement of the Health and Safety Code that authorized the TFCA, which requires that we conduct an audit at least every other year for each program or project funded by that fund. And also I want to mention that our admin code specifies that we should rebid audit contracts every 3 years. And the last time we did this was in 2014, so we are due to do that again this year. So for the scope of work, we've broken the two required audits into two separate projects. Project number 1 is for the financial audit, and project number 2 is the compliance audit. And we required firms responding to the RFP to submit proposals that included both projects. For the first project, the financial audit, the auditors will be auditing the 2018 General Fund and Special Revenue Fund. And for project number 2, the compliance audit, the auditors will be auditing the regional program and projects that closed by June 30th, 2017. Also, I want to point out that there are two aspects to the compliance audit: the regional fund projects and programs, which are audited every year, and the county program manager program, which is audited every other year. That is in year 2 of this proposal. So now I'm going to walk through the RFP process in a bit more detail. We issued the solicitation on July 17th, and we forwarded the RFP to 51 public sector audit firms in California, in addition to posting it on the district's website. and we received and responded to 34 questions from interested parties. We received 8 proposals, and I'd like to say that overall, we're very pleased with the quality of the proposals. We evaluated and ranked 7 of the 8 proposals, and the 8th proposal from Valtric, Trine, and Day only included work for 1 of the 2 projects in the scope of work, so we deemed that proposal incomplete and did not evaluate or rank it. So going into the evaluation in more detail, of the 7 complete proposals we evaluated, they were scored by a 5-person panel in 6 criteria. Of the criteria, expertise, approach, and costs had a maximum score of 25 points. Scale had a maximum score of 15. References and speciality, which deals with whether the firm is located in the Bay Area and is a green business, had a maximum of 5 points each. Also, additional details on each of these criteria can be found in the staff report. So the maximum total points was 100, and each proposal was ranked based on their overall points. So this table shows the average scores given to each proposal from the 5-person panel, and they are listed in the order of their rank. Overall, the proposals were strong, and so we gave high expertise scores across the board, and you can see that here. And the proposal that scored the highest from Simpson, James Marta, and Gilbert also happened to come from firms that have recently conducted audits at California Air Districts that are similar in scope and work to ours. And of the 3, Simpson and Simpson provided the most cost-effective proposal. So as a result of that, Simpson and Simpson was ranked the highest. And this firm has over 40 years of experience specializing in auditing services for large governmental organizations in California, including the South Coast AQMD. At South Coast, Simpson has conducted audits that are similar in scope and requirements to the district's compliance audits. Also want to point out that Joe Musa from Simpson & Simpson is also here in the audience and will be available to answer questions. And Stephanie from our finance division is also here and available to answer questions. So I mentioned that Simpson & Simpson submitted a very competitive cost proposal, and this table shows that broken down into more detail. Again, I want to note that the County Program Manager Compliance Audit, which is scheduled to be conducted every other year, is scheduled to be conducted in year 2 of this proposal, and that is why there's a cost increase for that year alone. Also, the compliance audits for both the regional fund and the county program manager are estimates and may vary based on the number of projects to be audited. And to be consistent, we asked all firms to submit their cost proposals based on 70 regional projects and 120 program manager projects, so that we can compare apples to apples when looking at cost. So in closing, staff is requesting the committee recommend the board of directors, 1, approve the selection of Simpson & Simpson to conduct the financial audit for fiscal year ending 2018 and a compliance audit of the Transportation Fund for Clean Air Program and projects that closed by fiscal year ending 2017. 2, authorize the executive officer, APCO, to enter into a contract with Simpson & Simpson at a cost not to exceed $119,350 for services performed in fiscal year ending 2018, or year 1. And also 3, to authorize the executive officer, APCO, to extend the contract with Simpson & Simpson for additional amount not to exceed $151,350 annually for up to 2 additional years at the Air District's discretion based on the contractor's performance. That concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Director Haggerty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I noticed that this firm has a fine list of references. However, they all are in Southern California, and this is a Southern California firm. So when looking at this, I think travel expenses, are we responsible for paying travel expenses in this?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chair Haggerty. So the cost...
No.
I'm sorry.
I'm not a chairman.
I'm sorry. Director, sorry.
Thank you.
In terms of the costs for travel expenses, they are inclusive in the cost proposals. So they are included. There is no further expenditures related to any costs that for travel.
So what was the cost of the next bidder?
The cost of the second bidder was...
Well, wait, before I ask that question, why don't I ask this question? Okay. Where was the next responsible bidder from?
So the next responsible bidder is ranked second. It's James Martha, and they're from Sacramento.
Okay. And what was their cost of their bid?
Their cost was about $225,000.
So they're a little bit more expensive.
Correct.
Okay. So because I noticed in the rankings, it seemed like they were... what did you say? The James Martha was. I'm confused. We're looking at Simpson and Simpson, correct? Their cost is came in at 22.8% or 22.8 points, and they're at 119. And you just gave me a figure of 200 and something, and that point was. Those got 21.4 points. How does that compute?
In terms of cost, are you referring to?
I'm looking at the scoring proposals.
The cost
how you,
category.
How you scored, James Martha? Oh, they dropped at 1.4.
They scored higher in terms of correct.
They scored lower because their cost is higher.
Correct.
That wasn't for almost $100,000 increase in cost to drop only one point.
I understand. We had a five panel member, and each person scored based on their own individual assessment. But the average, so what you're looking at is the average scores for all five panel members.
So I guess
members.
What you're telling me is the cost of travel really didn't factor too much.
That's correct.
Thank you.
I have questions, but did anybody else have any questions? Go ahead.
So is it typical practice to authorize the APCO to do the contract extensions for the last 2 years of these audits? And has that been the historical practice?
Yes. Generally what happens is that as we bring the audits back, the board interacts with the staff to get our assessment as to how the firm performed. At that point, we have the option to terminate or move forward. So that's where that interaction happens as each of the audits are presented to the board of directors.
Okay, thank you.
Director Canepa?
Damien or Stephanie, who did we use last time when we did this audit? And
the firm that ranked number three, which is Gilbert Associates, and we've been using them, I think, for the past 8 or 9 years.
And so you thought that you had to make a change. That obviously that's why you're recommending another vendor, correct?
We think that it's a best practice to change auditors out, you know, every six to seven years or so. And I think there's some guidance right on that in some of the guidance documents.
Correct. There is some guidance from some of the government associations that sort of give recommendations in terms of rotation of auditors. I would like to say that the top three firms, I mean, in terms of they've all audited California air districts, as we just indicated in the presentation. So overall, you know, all firms are really good firms. It was just they ranked the top three ranked slightly higher because of their expertise in auditing government agencies.
So
it wasn't that we did get proposals from Gilbert. It's just overall the other two ranked higher in some of the other categories.
And just so I get clarity, so you're saying that it's an agency practice not to go with another vent? Yeah, Gene?
So I guess I would put our practice as we as is proposed today, have a contract for an auditor, and sometimes we do this for other contractors as well, and have the option of renewing that contract if they're doing well for 2 additional years. So we have that practice. It streamlines things. But really we rebid, we'd go out for an RFP after that 3 years to say who's out there now, just to make sure that we give an opportunity for others to bid. So I think it's that we go out for an RFP again And if we found that the contractor we had wasn't performing well, we would go out for an RFP earlier than the 3 years if needed be. Okay.
Thank you. And I would comment, I know this is a bidding of every 3 years is pretty common practice on a lot of different kind of things. So we have a motion by Haggerty and a second by Kaplan. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Any opposed, say no. Motion carries unanimously. We will move on to item six. Would you like to introduce Mr. Simpson to us, just so we know who Mr. Yeah. Simpson is?
Please. No, no. We have somebody here for, representing the firm. If you want to step up and make a few comments, the button below, Joe. If you know that.
My name is Joe Musa, Audit Manager with Simpson & Simpson CPAs. I'm here representing Melba Simpson, who's going to be the engagement partner on the job. She's one of the Simpsons. So.
Okay.
Very nice to meet everybody here. We're very excited to do work and business with the Air District, and we're hoping to bring our expertise from our previous audits into the district as well. And yeah, thank you very much for approving the contract. Appreciate it.
Nice to meet you. Thank you very much. Congratulations. All right, moving on to item six, which is to accept, obligate, and expend funding from the U.S. EPA. And
wonderful. For this next item, I'd like to introduce Joseph Steinberger, who will be leading us through this item to accept the funding. We're really excited about this project that hopefully will get implemented very quickly and continue to bring clean air to the West Oakland community.
Can I ask a point of in the future, and I appreciate the PowerPoints, and I know that we list Damien, but whoever's going to make the presentation, can you put their name underneath it?
Sure.
I like to refer to people by their name.
Absolutely, no problem.
I think I heard you say Mr. Steinberger.
Joe Steinberger.
Berger. Thank you.
There he is.
I figured who he was. It would be very helpful.
Yes,
we
Joe.
Absolutely can take care of that.
We Thank can do you. That.
Good morning, Chairperson Mitchoff and members of the Mobile Source Committee. I'll be presenting Agenda Item 6 to accept, obligate, and expend funding from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for the purchase of a new Tier 4 locomotive at the Port of Oakland. First, I'll provide you with some background on the EPA program and the Port of Oakland. Then I'll tell you about our proposal to the EPA. Then a few details regarding the EPA award, and finally, staff's recommendations. On an annual basis, the EPA has provided funding through the Diesel Emission Reduction Act, also known as DERA, to fund projects that reduce diesel particulate emissions, especially focusing on projects that operate in goods movement and areas that have poor air quality, such as the Port of Oakland and its surrounding communities. Public agencies such as the Air District and nonprofits focused on air quality are eligible to submit proposals under DERA. In the past 5 years, the Air District has submitted proposals to replace trucks and locomotives and been awarded funding for two other projects in addition to this project. The project would operate at the Port of Oakland, the sixth largest container port in the U.S. The equipment to move goods at the port rely almost exclusively on engines that burn diesel fuel and emit diesel particulate matter, a toxic air contaminant. As a result of these activities, the neighborhoods near the port have been identified by the Air District through its Community Air Risk Evaluation, or CARE program, as one of the most impacted by air pollution in the Bay Area. Acknowledging this, the Air District has for many years developed plans to reduce diesel particulate matter at the port, monitored our progress towards achieving this goal, and provided incentives through federal, state, and the Air District's own funding sources to reduce diesel particulate matter at the port. While we have made significant progress, there is still much work to be done. In June, the Air District, working with the owners of the locomotive to be replaced, submitted a proposal to the EPA. Replacing this uncontrolled switcher locomotive with a Tier 4 locomotive would achieve an 88% reduction in diesel particulate matter every year over the expected 21-year life of the project and achieve emission reductions shown in the slide. In July, the Air District received notice from the EPA that it was awarded the full amount of funds requested in the proposal, $639,670. Matching funds, primarily provided by the owners of the locomotive, Oakland Global Rail Enterprise comprise $1.9 million of the $2.5 million project. The Air District could also receive over $14,000 to administer the project. In conclusion, staff recommends the board adopt a resolution authorizing the Air District to accept, obligate, and expend up to $639,670 in funds from the US EPA to replace one locomotive, and authorize the Executive Officer, Air Pollution Control Officer, to enter into all agreements necessary to accept and expend this funding. That concludes my presentation. I'd be glad to answer any questions you have.
Mr. Haggerty?
Thank you. I'm sure that Director Kaplan will gleefully move this in a minute. No, okay, there you have it. So I will second it, but I do have a question. How much were the ACE locomotives that we bought?
They were more expensive because they're larger engines. The ACE locomotives are in the 3,500 horsepower range. They're more like line hauls. They're 3,500 to 5,000 horsepower. So this one is, I think, significantly smaller, Joe. It's in the 2,000 horsepower.
I think it's less than that even.
Even less than that, yeah. Yeah, so these essentially, they haul from
because they don't have to pull hills or anything.
Exactly. They're just going in that loop around the port.
And I'll note that I think it's rather cute that they're being ordered in Oakland A's colors.
Before we move the motion, so I understand that the $14,670, so the actual award to the private entity is $625,000?
The award to the Air District is $639,670, and then we have to enter into a contract for this. So today you are going to be proposing to the Board of Directors that they adopt a resolution to accept this funding, and we have to do that as part of the process.
No, I understand. What I'm getting at is you talked about that it includes a $14,670 for administration. So while the Air District gets the $639,000, You'll use the 14. So basically, it's $625,000 for the
project sponsor. Yes.
Thank you. That's what I needed. Is there anyone else who would like to talk about this? Okay. Moved by Kaplan, seconded by Haggerty. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Any opposed, say no. Motion carries unanimously. And so with that, again. Pardon me? Okay. I want to thank Director Groom for standing in for both myself and Director Haggerty. With that, our meeting is adjourned.
Committee.
What's going on down there? Who would like to make? Are there any director comments to be made? Mr. Hudson does.
Now I forgot what I was going to say. No, and I listened pretty intently today, and as I have through many of these meetings, and you get a pretty good sense of which programs are successful, which ones are really successful. I think Rebecca brought it up earlier, the particulate matter, the trucks, and I'm looking at something a little outside the box we've never done. Probably Carl Moyer's about as successful you can get over time. We had the lawnmower thing that we're working at the TFCA funds. This is a little out of Mobile Source, but I mean, how fast did it take us to spend $4 million on these fireplace replacements? And I'm wondering if there isn't a way to just attack one area. I mean, even if it was like the self-help counties do it within a county and focus on North Bay, see if they've got about a quarter of the directors here, if they'd like to focus on that area. Some of us that stuck around for the end saw how many people from Vallejo and these areas were just constant, that nothing we could do would satisfy them. And if I'm wondering if there isn't a way to comprehensively bring some of these programs together, North County, if you wanted to do something, matching funds through whatever source that you've got in North County for the fireplaces, and at the same time attach charging possibilities up there, where they're granted a little bit more of the money, because they're never going to make it on the votes that are here. I've never heard it. It actually was an idea I got from Scott when we were working with the Carl Moyer program, and he showed where, wait a minute, some of these other counties have trucking coming in. We said, well, nobody's going to agree to it. And went back to our CMA, and we immediately agreed at CCTA to kick in if we could on the Carl Moyer program. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would like to see it start, if you can, you know, touch base with Katie, Jim, whoever. So if this is something you want to take a look at, because to try and attack all that area with some money, it just, there isn't going to be enough funds. But maybe there's enough incentive here to go after a program that's really successful. And I don't know how Marin's ever going to get rid of that headache. And we're all going to suffer if we don't come up with something.
Director Kaplan?
Thank you. And yes, Alameda County also put in a bunch of money for the truck repowering program a few years ago as well. I just wanted to say thank you for the diesel locomotive. And just a comment, my first experience on the issue of mobile sources of pollution was when I was in graduate school in Boston during the Big Dig. Mm. And during the Big Dig, they were building an underground freeway segment with a big smokestack to let all the accumulated emissions from that escape. And as in many places, the rules on point sources are stricter than the rules on mobile sources of emission. And the neighbors of the smokestack insisted, that's a point source. Look at it. It's right there. And the local political leader said, no, it's a mobile source because it's cars go and trucks going through. And so it was subjected to weaker air quality rules. And the issues now that we're dealing with at the Port of Oakland are very similar to that problem, which is the Port of Oakland is one location that is crowded by thousands of mobile sources of emission of trucks, ships, and trains that are very heavily emitting. And so it is a point that impacts a neighborhood, but it is the collective of many mobile sources. And so I'm really glad we're able to move this forward on the locomotives, which run very near to West Oakland, where there's a very high rate of asthma. And so thank you for that, and look forward to coming back on more on the trucks and things. So thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? Then our meeting really is adjourned.